Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, hello, everybody.
Chuck, wake up. I'm mesmerized looking at our intro always. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden. No, you don't have to say the same thing I'm saying. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden, at the Truth Straight Up. Brought to you by...
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, HappyTrees.co, and Denver Cenogenics, and Dr. Julie McCallan. Hey, so we had a couple of guests booked for today, but everybody had stuff going in at the last minute. So just
we'll get them back.
Yeah. We already have rescheduled, but it's just going to be all of us. So want to invite
all of us kids.
There's no one in charge. No. Want to invite anyone, if you're on Zoom, feel free to go ahead and unmute yourself and comment, or go ahead and put your comments in the chat section and read those as best we can. But also you call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. So what do you think? A couple of things to talk about. The State of the Union address, Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Response.
The response, and maybe all is not as it seems. We got the Twitter hearings going on, where for the first time ever at a Congressional Oversight Committee hearing, the lights went out.
Mm-hmm. And, that deep state is so tricky.
They are so tricky. A new report out by a pretty good investigative journalist saying it was Joe Biden who bombed the Nord Stream pipeline.
No, it goes through with enormous amount of detail. So this thing is either made up in whole cloth, just a total hoax, or it's pretty accurate, and it seems like it's pretty accurate.
Now, I don't think you're going to see it on CNN. MSNBC,
oh, no. You know. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see Twitter. You're not going to see, you know.
None of that. Also, too, if there's time, I want to talk about that one of the guys who's running for the Colorado GOP chair, who has had some interesting position papers come out. Position papers that are the exact opposite of what his position was just a few short months ago. So we'll kind of get in on that, too. But what the Biden speech, what did you think?
Boring, trite. You know, he got through it. He didn't really stumble a lot of times, you know, total fantasy. And I'd rate it, you know, C minus maybe at best.
Than his other speeches, though. It was better than the weird one where it was in the blood red thing.
Well, they got the drugs. They really perk up the drugs some. And so he really.
He was nicer this time. He wasn't attacking
the MAGA Republicans. He wasn't screaming at people and trying to sniff the hair of little girls.
There's nothing that was true in it, though, really.
No.
I mean, the one point where he says the Republicans want to get rid of Social Security, they're like, Then when he was talking about how if you work at McDonald's, you can't go across the street because of the labor laws and no compete clauses. I mean, it was like, what? I mean, so a lot of what he said was just not true. A lot of what he suggested we do involves a lot more spending, which, where's that money? I know Chuck keeps leaning, which involves a lot more spending, which I don't know where that's going to come from.
Just bigger
well,
government.
That's why those IRS agents, the IRS agents are going to go after waitress and waiters.
Yeah.
So that's what
they're not, you know, not the billionaires. It's billionaire waitresses and waiters.
That's right, that are going to be paying.
Yeah.
So speech was okay. You know, the response,
mediocre at best.
It, depending on which poll you look at, it seems like independents were not particularly impressed. Democrats, as usual, thought it was okay. Republicans, as usual, hated it. But I think the independents were not particularly impressed. Now, if you thought he was going to talk about the document drama, no mention of that. You thought he was going to talk about Hunter, no mention of that. Even the Chinese spy balloon, no mention of that either. Didn't exist in Biden world, right?
Right. You don't talk about unpleasant things in Biden world unless you figure how you can spin them so they're very pleasant.
Exactly. But what I'm talking about, though, because, while we were watching Sarah Huckabee Sanders, first I thought she delivered, the governor of Arkansas gave the Republican response. I think she did a great job. A couple of times I found myself, you know, tearing up. You know, she was a very good storyteller. I think being a press secretary and getting used to, anybody who gets used to having to talk live in front of an audience on a regular basis, I think becomes a pretty good storyteller. And she did a very good job.
I'm not sure that's going to apply to the present secretary.
Well, all right.
Press secretary.
Good point. I guess it depends on the press secretary. But she did, I think, a really good job on one hand of responding and pointing out just the nuttiness.
You know, it's been pointed out that this has been sort of, you know, a tricky gift, being the one to give the response. Bobby Jindal famously just torched his presidential and other career.
Marco Rubio,
awful. And same with Stacey Abrams. Everybody after, oh my God, she's awful. So it's not an easy task. So the fact that she did do a good response, I think, is all to her credit. But then you get behind who's really behind, who's pulling the strings, who's doing the marionette thing and everything else.
Let's talk about that second. To a certain extent, I think what she did not say is a little bit more revealing than what she did say. This from Jim, Biden's handlers are getting the drug cocktail.
Right? Yeah, they're getting it downright. They're really kind of upping the IQ dose.
That's right. But let's go ahead and play. This is a little clip from the Sarah Huckabee Sanders response. If we could please play the Sarah soundbite, Thomas.
While you reap the consequences of their failures, the Biden administration seems more interested in woke fantasies than the hard reality Americans face every day. Most Americans simply want to live their lives in freedom and peace. But we are under attack in a left-wing culture war we didn't start and never wanted to fight. Every day we are told we must partake in their rituals, salute their flags, and worship their false idols. All while big government colludes with big tech to strip away the most American thing there is, your freedom of speech. That's not normal. It's crazy. And it's wrong.
And she went on to, I mean, the whole speech was kind of like that, making some very good points all along. And then she went on to describe a trip that she made with President Trump, where it was a secret trip. They flew overseas to Iraq. And I mean, she told it so movingly. Seriously, I like got tears in my eyes. But
forgot to mention who she was on the flight with.
To mention Trump, right? Never. It's like, don't say his name. Yeah. And some of the Twitter things were listening, they're like, just say his name. And then she kept referring to the need for a new generation of leaders. Even I mentioned that. I'm like, is she talking about Trump? Yeah. I mean, clearly she's talking about Biden, but is she talking about Trump?
No, she's talking about new Republican leaders.
I see. That? And Jim said the same thing. She fails to credit President Trump for much of the positive.
Right.
Exactly. And so Lou Dobbs and Steve Bannon, we're going to play sound from that real quick, talk about the Republican Governors Association and
evil
the
organization.
Evil organization. Didn't they screwed over Tom Tancredo, right?
Yes. No, that was Attorney General's.
Oh, okay. One of their associates. Yeah. But the Republican Governors Association, which is, I think, probably largely a rhino. It should be a rhino Republican Governors Association.
Yes.
I think had a lot to do with figuring out who was going to do. I'm not sure how they determined who got to give the response, but.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah. I think it was clever, though, because Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
RNC gets it.
A bit. Yeah, we'll have to figure that out. But I think it was clever because on the one hand, she was Trump's press secretary. She is obviously an America First politician, right? Trump endorsed her, all of that kind of stuff. And yet she never mentioned Trump, right? And she kept talking about the need for new leadership, which feeds into the conservative treehouse. And we've talked about this, his theory, Sundance. And if you haven't ever gone on the conservativetreehouse.com, you should.
You like Tucker Carlson, you'll love Sundance.
And he, his theory is that Ron DeSantis is, in spite of all his great policies, is being controlled by the establishment, big money people. Now, I think that's probably true. And on one hand, Ron DeSantis is still doing a good job being governor, but that's his point. And so if we could listen to this, this is Lou Dobbs and Steve Bannon talking about this. If we could play the Dobbs soundbite, please.
Given the fact that Trump had made her to not say, go out of his way, her way, not to say his name, and then to tell the story about the trip to Iraq and not say his name in the story of the trip was outrageous. And you're right. This was like written by Ron DeSantis and the entire RGA, Lou Dobbs.
It was a metaphor for what the donor class is trying to do to Donald Trump right now. That is, use his 4 years as president as a template and model for a rhino presidency that they can control. The issues today are not much different than 2016 when President Trump was running and elected. They can't stand it, that they can't control him, and that he is, in point of fact, an America first patriot. He means it when he wants to make America great, and he has proven that he will deliver. He has implemented, executed, and achieved as President of the United States, and I think like no other in modern history.
You know, and that's a big problem they have, right? People like Trump. So I think that's very clever of them. And I think there could be some truth to that. The more you think about it, that they're going to take the MAGA template, right? And kind of model it after everything Donald Trump did, only they're going to feed it through the mouth of essentially what's going to be a rhino, who will then get into office and become a Mitch McConnell or a Mitt Romney or something like that.
Or KBB.
Or KBB. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's clear that there's a whole, they realize that there really isn't any other candidate out there who can challenge Trump other than Ron DeSantis. The rest of them are just little pygmies and stuff. Ron DeSantis has been a great governor, but now he's being controlled by all the evil forces that have so long controlled the Republican Party before Trump, including the Chamber of Commerce, Business Roundtable, Wall Street, Big Pharma. You can just name them. And Ron DeSantis will be their stalking horse. And that's the way it's going to be. I think it'll be a bloodbath. I think Ron DeSantis will lose his saintedness. And I think it's, you know, we all thought that, no, Ron will just, right. He's young, he'll wait 4 years.
He'll just wait, yeah.
Yeah, he'll just wait, and then he can be free to run for president. And with everybody's unanimous acclamation, guess not.
It's because I think the money people, right, the uniparty, the rhinos, the establishment, the people that hate Trump and the people that hate what Trump did for the country for economics, basically, right? These are the same people that they want illegal immigration.
They want the war in Ukraine.
They want the war in Ukraine. They take money from Big Pharma. They take money from big tech. They're all in favor of that. It's all the same, right? It's your globalists, basically. I mean, yes. They all could go to the World Economic Forum and have cocktails and all happily chat with each other about how much better they are than all the rest of us peasants and grassroots people.
Right,
and they do hate that they can't control Donald Trump. And I think they need to find somebody to win. And we can talk about sort of the lane. So you've got Donald Trump. Clearly, they're clearly popular. I don't think his popularity has not been diminished at all, particularly as we find out all the conspiracy theories. We're not conspiracy theories at all. How true. I mean, you look at what this guy was able to accomplish given everything against him.
Yeah.
So you've got him. Then you have the fake Donald Trump lane, which is Ron DeSantis, which is what
the new Republican,
the new generation
retired Republican lane. And then you've got everybody running for vice president and cabinet positions, which is Mike Pence. Nikki Haley.
About these guys are saying, you know, Nikki Haley is going to announce, Mike Pence is in the race, maybe Pompeo, all of those people, but they don't really have a lane. I don't think now you got to wonder, do you think that Mike Pence actually thinks that he can get the nomination or that people would?
Well, you know, Tom Tancredo ran for president. And because he ran for president, his speaking fees went up enormously, and until he got Bernie Madoff, he'd made a couple million bucks from speaking fees. So there's a lot if you go out there and compete. I mean, our vice president, the beautiful, wonderful Kamala Harris, ran, and she didn't get a single electoral vote after being high up, but she gained the vice president.
Yeah.
Pete Buttigieg.
That's true. Transportation secretary, despite being an idiot, right?
Yeah, totally.
And from Jim Jackson, 18 Republican senators voted for the omnibus. Yeah. Your rhinos. Yeah. Well, exactly. Now, they don't care. I mean, and that's, you know, one of the reasons they keep changing the election laws. And the Democrats, I think, aren't doing nearly, or the Republicans aren't doing nearly enough to fight it, is they would rather have a Democrat slash or rhino that they can control than somebody like Trump, who stands up for the people that they can't control. Again, we are a threat to everything that they're trying to accomplish and everything they're trying to destroy, right? If you don't want to eat bugs, if you want to drive whatever kind of car you want, if you want to have reasonable egg prices and reasonable heating prices, you know, they don't want anything to do with you. But a joke Jared Polis is saying, oh, he's going to work on getting rid of reducing utility bills. That's an aside.
Sure he is.
But I think so that there is a lane there. And I don't know, I guess you're saying you think that they may declare just to kind of be in the conversation.
You get on the debate stage, everybody in the country sees you, you raise your
profile,
your profile enormously. And people running for president, I mean, look at what's her name from Hawaii?
Tulsi Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, she ran. No one ever heard of her. Now she's kind of come out a Republican, but raised her status enormously. So running for president has a lot of rewards to it, beyond just winning. And so the whole group of them, Larry Hogan's and all the other ones, they're just there to get up on stage and be fools.
Right. Well, I'm not just, no, somebody, I hear somebody, if somebody wants to comment, just go ahead and jump on in if you want to do that. Or again, 888-627-6008. It'll be interesting to see, because again, on the one hand, I like to believe, and maybe this is silly of me, that DeSantis, that DeSantis has good intentions. And I mean, he's doing good things in Florida. And in order to run, you have to have money. So he's got to court the people who have money, right? I mean, you just can't.
Well, he has been courting him. He got an enormous amount of money from the Republican Governance Association, far beyond for somebody who's leading by double digits in the
in the race. In the race of building up his campaign.
Yeah, camping coffers.
And what do you think of this? So Donald Trump, I did not like this. I think Donald Trump is attacking DeSantis. He posted some picture of DeSantis with some young kids saying something about grooming them or something like that. And yeah, don't check you're skewing up the DeSantis was asked about it. DeSantis said, you know, I'm busy attacking Joe Biden. What do you think? I don't think Donald Trump should, and that's Donald Trump, so he's gonna do whatever he does, but I think he should leave Ron DeSantis alone until he gets
No.
Hello.
Who is this?
Oh, hey, Thomas. If that's somebody we don't want, go ahead and. Sometimes people try to.
Hey, it's Jacob.
It may have been. Jacob. Okay.
It was me. I was telling somebody in front of me to go. I just wanted to say one thing, because I was on the radio last Monday. I got my property tax deal, you know, and. In the county of Denver, it used to be 50% went to the general fund and the 50% of your amount went to the schools. Now it's 65% go to the schools.
Wow.
Wow.
How okay. did you feel?
It went up 9%. Yeah. But it's allowed to by Tabor, because Tabor says you're allowed to raise the tax amount by the amount of inflation plus 2%.
Yeah.
So they were even allowed 10%, because remember, inflation went up 8% last year.
Right, right.
But on the other hand, the attendance at the schools is going down to the point where they're closing, I think, 8 schools between Jefferson County and Denver. So what do they need the extra money for?
Teachers,
administrators and teachers.
Administrators.
Diversity. Diversity and equity instructors, confirming gender care.
Then there was a $25.40 surcharge for affordable housing. I don't know if that was voted in, or if that was.
I think it was voted in.
That's going to be interesting to see, because there was an interesting article in, I forget where, maybe Denverite, but they were talking about the fact that, so since Denver passed its affordable housing thing that requires then any new apartments to have like 10% or something be affordable, right? The requests for building permits, contracts, things like that dropped over 80%. It's like, so no one's building in.
You're happy to know that if you drive by what used to be Park Hill Golf Course,
that's going to be.
They have all these signs, yay for affordable housing, vote for affordable housing, take away your open space, and you'll be so happy, because it will just be a hellhole.
Can I make a bet on something?
Sure.
Well, first of all, Chuck, you're a native Denverite, right?
No, I was born in New York City.
But he's lived in Denver.
I'm sorry. Okay, because there used to be a Montgomery Ward on Virginia and Broadway, I think it was. It's now Sam's Club.
Yes.
Yes.
Before it was Montgomery Ward, it was a big, big lake. And it was a park there. And the city decided to sell the land to develop it into what it is today.
Right.
I'm going to make a bet with you that Sloan's Lake is next up.
Yeah, ooh, why not?
That could be. They've surrounded it with stuff.
Yeah, they've done everything they can on every edge they can. So just drain the lake and let's have some fun. Yeah.
And I think
more affordable housing.
I was told this back in 1997, I think, 98. Oh, I can't remember the councilwoman's name, but she had long, long gray hair. And I can't remember. She was a Republican. At least she was right leaning. But she told me that one day they're going to sell Sloan's Lake Park and it's going to become a development.
True. Well, and you know what? We'll keep an eye on that. But you know what else, Jacob? I don't know if you noticed. There's like 800 people running for mayor of Denver, and your tax dollars are also going to pay for their campaigns. The number one source of funding, except for the one guy who's funding his own, comes from the taxpayer fund that, you know, the Denver. You guys in Denver are screwed, Jacob. I don't mean to say anything.
I know. Well, I'll tell you, I think they're all hypocrites, except for that one Republican that Kyle Clark went after.
Oh, yeah.
Because every one of them wants Denver to become a carbon-free city by 2030.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay, what are you going to do with the airport?
Well, because people have their private jets. They can just land at the one in Arapahoe County.
No. But you can't operate it as carbon free because I think that's the number one polluter in the city.
Oh, you know, I think the number one polluter is probably California wildfires, actually, when you get right down to it, you know. So we have that. But yeah. Hey, listen, Jacob, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Jacob.
I'm sorry about what's happening.
Bye bye. I'm sorry about that. It's my fault. Bye-bye.
All right. If you want to switch gears there, and feel free, guys, if you want to go back to comment on Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the presidential race, or anything like that. Dr. Donna says wildfires in general. That's true. The pollution. But I want to talk about, this is fun to watch, Republicans keeping their promise, the congressional Republicans, that is. They've launched the House Oversight Committee hearing into the Twitter files, basically. And it's just been kind of fun. I've been dipping in and out of it. But the lights inexplicably went out for the first time ever. So C-SPAN, they had to cancel it. And C-SPAN went over to cover something else. It was really, really boring.
Really boring.
Yeah, I don't know that it had come back yet. But they're torturing the former Twitter honchos, right? Now, James Baker was the former FBI guy who was now the general counsel of Twitter until Elon Musk was like, what? And he fired him. He can't remember anything about anything. Can't remember ever talking.
Can't recall.
Can't remember talking to the FBI. Can't recall. None of them can recall anything. But it's been kind of funny. If we could please play. This is James Comer from Kentucky. He's the chair of the House Oversight Committee. He's talking with Yoel Roth. These are all those people that got fired right away by Elon Musk when he came in. But if we could please play the Twitter hearing soundbite.
Action. Today, we're hearing from Twitter executives who buried the New York Post laptop story, claiming it violated the platform's hacked materials policy. In reality, the Twitter executives were hostile towards conservatives and biased towards anyone who opposed their points of view. For example, Mr. Roth, did you write this tweet?
I regret the language that I used in some of my former tweets, but yes, I did post that.
And I'll read the tweet so it's in the record. Yes, that person in the pink hat is clearly a bigger threat to your brand of feminism than actual Nazis in the White House. Mr. Roth, do you think all conservatives are Nazis?
Certainly not, sir.
What about the hundreds of people who worked at?
Yeah, I mean, he's like, no. I mean, they've got tweet after tweet after tweet that they're putting up in front of these people. Well, it went on and on and on. But he's just torturing them. And they asked him, what about this one? What about this? And it's kind of fun. And then they're like, well, we don't remember. And then Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene did the same thing. Go scorched earth on him. Because what we're finding out now is how Twitter, and well, there wasn't even Twitter, really. It was actually direct input and direct action from the FBI, the CIA, even with our 14 CIA agents working there. I mean, all of that directly interfering with and putting shadow bans on people, suspending accounts, all kinds of things. And it's still happening today to a certain extent, it's going on. But Lauren Boebert just goes scorched earth on them. If we could please play the Boebert soundbite.
Did either of you approve the shadow banning of my account at Lauren Boebert? Yes or no?
No, I did not.
Not to the best of my recollection.
Well, let me refresh your memory, because on March 12th, 2021, and Mr. Roth, I know you looked at it because Fascist Twitter 1.0 had a public interest exceptions policy, which means for members of Congress to be shadow banned, it had to go before you, Mr. Roth. So I'll ask again, did you shadow ban my account? Yes or no?
Again, not to the best of my recollection.
So the answer is, Mr. Roth, yes, you did. I found out last night from Twitter staff that you suppressed my account for this tweet. It's a freaking joke about Hillary Clinton being angry that she couldn't rig her election. It's a joke. But in response, being the sinister overlords that you all are, you placed a 90-day account filter so I could not be found. And now we see here that Twitter staff said the visibility filter on my account excluded me from top searches, prevented notifications for non-followers, and much more. This is considered an aggressive visibility filter. You silenced members of Congress from communicating with their constituents. You silenced me from communicating with the American people over a freaking joke. Now, who the hell do you think that you are?
Exactly. Good for her. Marjorie Taylor Greene did the same thing. Who they think they are is they think they're better than all of us, right?
It's a great one, and I don't particularly like Nancy Mace from South Carolina, but she excoriates them on banning medical opinions that disagreed with CDC, and also banned somebody who agreed with CDC, but they just said, why not? But if you disagree with CDC, you're placing misinformation, you know, noted doctors who wanted to have. And she talked about how she'd taken the second COVID shot and has all kinds of problems, has asthma, tremors, heart palpitations, everything else. And the one they banned was like a Barrington Declaration, which said that natural immunity was better than the shot. But certainly if you had natural immunity, you didn't want to take the difficulties that come along with the shot. Who was the person with the mask? And I think it was a guy.
There was the four, and I forget all their names. One was James Baker. It was you.
No, we're talking about the one that was sitting next to
Yoel Roth and Mitchell.
No, on the other side, sitting up on the dais.
Oh,
he had a little square hat and a mask.
People wear.
So he was, I think, the leading Democrat on the committee.
You can tell right away they're a Democrat, right, if they're wearing a mask.
And the hat. The hat was just a beauty.
It's going to be interesting because – so now they're, you know, they've got the Twitter people there. They're going to have also later on, I think, and this is Jim Jordan's committee, they're going to be having FBI whistleblowers talking about the weaponization. So they are going to do a 1-2 punch, right? They're going to have the Twitter people there calling them to account. Then they're going to bring in the FBI and talk about the deep state coordination. Well, and I would say it's a deep state takeover, right?
I don't know how long Musk has been in charge of Twitter, but it was interesting. He came out the other day and said, you know, I haven't really figured out what the big rig is. What is it that really controls the controls? And I said, I haven't been able to figure that out yet, but I'm looking into it. So
yeah, exactly. Because you can tell things are still going on. We periodically get shadow banned, right? And we know that a lot of the people are still there because you can't really figure out who they are. It's also not clear to me whether, so they have these direct portals. And by that, I mean, my understanding of that is that these FBI plants could directly go in and do stuff themselves, right? Order the Twitter person. So they didn't have to send them an email, right? That went boom and popped up right away.
Right.
And the Twitter people just did what they ask them to do. Musk was indicating that they've gone through millions and millions of lines of code to figure out some of it, but he was saying
there's some
kind
deeper
of fundamental thing, yeah, which I think what he's referring to is there is still to some degree the government controlling things, right? And I don't know if government's controlling the server. I don't know what government's doing, but or what exactly. But he said there's still something they're controlling. Now we know it's
I think they're going to find out it's Obama.
Yeah,
well, he's controlling the whole Twitter world.
Yeah, it's really, or his daughters because they're younger. Yet Marjorie Taylor Greene called Biden a liar during his performance. Right. When he said what, that they wanted to cut Social Security. Jim Jackson, this is absolutely true. Stomping on them is nice, but prosecution or civil penalties would be better. And from Stephen, free speech and privacy are a myth. And Dr. Donna, I signed the Great Barrington Declaration.
Good for you, Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, you're right. I don't think anything is ever going to happen with this. And you're not going to see it. You don't, you know, The Hill had it. Some of the, you know, all the conservative sites are talking about it, but CNN isn't talking about it. ABC isn't talking about it. Well, then it's not going to, because they were part of it, right? Yes. It was all kind of this circular thing where, you know, the media pushed out the lies that they told them. And so then they said, well, anything else that you put out there is, you know, dangerous to the public, blah, 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 misinformation.
Russian disinformation.
Right. And so now they all acknowledge that the Hunter Biden laptop thing is real, but they haven't retracted the stories. AOC keeps trying to still call it alleged. It's alleged it's not alleged. It's on lawyers admitted it. So they're not going to turn around and go back, but I think it is good at least to have these hearings and try to get as much as possible to the bottom of how much control was there and how was it being controlled. And I think
Certainly still YouTube. I mean, I was listening on the radio and George Brockler is on YouTube in the mornings. You know, the show is broadcast on YouTube and he'll get thrown off. He says anything controversial, anything.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, anything. You know, you'd think if you're 710 KNUS, you'd be on Rumble or something. But on YouTube, who regularly throws people off for the least bit of controversial opinion.
Well, and again, and it's just algorithms, right? So, and I think the other thing to be aware of, as we've talked about before, it's still going on Facebook. It's still going on I don't even bother to try to post shows on Google anymore because every time I do, unless I completely make up a title and completely make up what the show is about. Yeah, they won't do it. Wikipedia, we know that Google.
And I was interesting. Wikipedia was among the people that met regularly with the FBI and CIA and the GEC, my favorite new group, the Global Engagement Center at the State Department. It looked a wonderful thing where Senator Murphy from Connecticut was tasking Cruz for not understanding that the GEC was giving information about outside of the United States. And it's just, you know, that and it had nothing to do with Homeland Security. And then we find out it's just part of Homeland Security.
Exactly. Well, and another thing, too, to be aware of. So we've talked a little bit about the ChatGPT, right? The Microsoft thing that, you know, you can ask it questions. It's artificial intelligence and it comes up with the answers. Clearly, it's becoming more and more evident every day. Incredibly biased against conservatives and conservative ideas and opinions. And Google is now racing to try to come up with its own thing. So when you search it up, as my son would say, when you Google something, instead of, or maybe in addition to just seeing the whole list of sites,
it'll tell you the politically correct answer.
It's artificial intelligence will give you exactly the political correct. And Microsoft is trying to use this ChatGPT. So if you do a search on Bing, it's going to do the same thing. It's like, don't need to worry about going to the source material yourself. We'll just tell you what to think.
We'll make sure that, what was it? The Prime Minister of New Zealand was saying, you know, we the government are the source of all information. Yeah. You can trust us and don't listen to anything else.
That's right. Well, and this from Stephen, you think big tech, mainstream media, deep state, and the establishment won't do the same thing in 2024, especially if Trump is a nominee?
Oh, yes.
They absolutely will. Oh, and, you know, I got news for Ron DeSantis. If you think they're not going to do it to you, too. You know what I mean? They're going to do it to any Republican candidate. I mean, you know, we see it. You know, they go after Lauren Boebert. They go after Marjorie Taylor Greene. They go after any conservative, right? And they go after just conservatives in general. So at least the Twitter files and the hearings will hopefully reveal tactics And so we can learn how to fight against it. And you know,
I remember when John McCain was running in the primary, New York Times wrote these glowing articles of how wonderful he was.
Right.
Oh, and the day he got the nomination, they said he had an affair with some staffer. We know he did. I mean, it's just how quickly they turned.
Yeah, they turned. Just... Oh, and this is from Dr. Donna. Afraid I may already be at a loss of carbon credits or whatever the new term will be before they even start. Oh, yeah. That's why the Excel has its little smart meters.
Yeah.
So in case you violate their carbon. Now you'll be glad to know, because maybe you were kind of worried about, you know, Bill Gates, like John Kerry flying all over in their private planes. But Bill Gates says, oh, no, it's all very cool because he's part of the solution.
Yes.
You see.
Yeah.
He's part of the solution. So it's okay for him to use up way more carbon than all of us put together.
He'll buy some carbon credits. There you go.
Yeah.
That'll solve everything.
Right. And from who will he buy them? I wonder.
Himself.
From himself. All right. So we're going to switch gears yet again. And again.
Once again.
Once again. Well, there's so much to talk about today.
So much.
Feel free, guys, to, you know, if you want to call in and comment, kind of on anything, too. You know,
give that number again, Julie.
888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Or unmute yourself and go ahead and weigh in.
Or raise your hand, whichever.
Raise your hand. Remember back in September, when the Nord Stream pipeline blew up, this is the Russian pipeline, two of them actually, that were in the process of being built to deliver natural gas and oil
under the North Sea.
Under the North Sea to Germany and Europe, right? And mysteriously, they blew up one day.
Yeah.
At first, they tried to tell us it was an earthquake, and they're like, okay, well, no, it wasn't. There was a big cloud, stuff like that. Then Joe Biden said that Putin did it, which didn't really seem to make sense, because why would Putin?
Because he said he had the ability to get rid of it anyway, didn't he?
Well, yeah, well, why would he blow up his own pipeline? Mm. Right, you know what I mean? And so, and then it was like, well, did Sweden do it? Did Norway do it? No one knew who did it. And you notice how quickly that went away? Just like the Paul Pelosi attack, right? All of a sudden, what? Big news, big news, big news. Putin did it. Now I'm not hearing about it anymore. Well, and you read the whole thing, so you can get into the details.
That's long.
Yeah, but Seymour Hersh was a well-known investigative reporter, although who knows, he's probably a CIA plant himself,
sure.
Has a big article that's in Substack. So go to substack.com, where basically he says that Biden had the Navy blow up the Nord Stream pipeline.
And he goes into great detail of, you know, what unit did it, where and when, and how they went over to Norway, because Norway said that they'd give up their jurisdiction over certain areas where the Americans were at, and et cetera. I mean, there's a long detail, giving units, giving everything else. So,
if he's making it up, he's really got a vivid imagination.
Right, right.
It reads like a Tom Clancy novel.
It does read.
Well, I mean, so what he says is, so what he claims happened is that Joe Biden, and they go back to, remember when Joe Biden said, well, you know, we can put a stop to that Nord Stream thing if we need to. And then he very cryptically said, I can't tell you how, but just we have the ability to do it. So apparently back in June, there were some naval and NATO exercises in the area. Mm-hmm. And so what they did is they slipped in a secret team of secret Navy guys to plant the detonation devices on the pipeline under the cover of this operation. So they had a good reason to explain it. Then in September, they had a plane fly over, could have used a weather balloon if they'd been thinking, and then drop a sonar that went like, played sort of like some kind of tonal thing and detonated. And detonated it. So it was a Biden administration, it was a fairly complicated operation to blow it up.
Yes, uh-huh.
Now, why would Biden want to blow it up?
Because he wants war between the United States and Europe. He figured the Europeans...
The United States and Europe between Russia. And
Russia and Europe. And if they couldn't get the gas, then be a lot more willing to go to war. And he was right. I mean, he's been pushing this World War III for a while. You know, there's a phrase, a Latin phrase, cause belli, you know, an act of war, a cause for something. And blowing up somebody else's pipeline, causing billions of dollars
of things,
is a cause belli. So, I mean, you know, if Russia needed another excuse, and I don't think they do, you know, they'd go, okay.
Well, and here's the thing, though. I mean, let's just think about this, guys. The audacity, the arrogance, and the complete disregard for all of us that Joe Biden would do that, because Russia could get very PO'd about this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And they could say, okay, you blow us up, we're going to just send a nuclear missile over to the Keystone Pipeline or something.
Yeah.
But Biden doesn't care, right? So they send Navy SEALs, or not SEALs, but Navy somebody's in there. Apparently, this is very particular and specialized unit, of which there's not very many people. And they put the detonation devices on there and it blows up. Now, if you might say, okay, well, now obviously the State Department and the CIA and the Biden administration say it's absolutely not true. Well, yeah, we believe that.
Do they bother to say that?
Yeah, they did. They denied it. But it
they does, wouldn't lie to us, would they?
That house really makes sense.
No, I wouldn't lie to us.
Sense that it would be pretty tricky for just your average run-of-the-mill terrorist to do. And
not much benefit for the average terrorist.
Exactly. And then you look at how quickly, this is always to me the big tell, when the corporate media just completely drop it. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, now granted, you're not going to read about, maybe Tucker Carlson will cover it, maybe not. You're not going to hear about this anyplace else. But when they drop it, then you know that it's Biden behind it all, right? Otherwise, if there was somebody else that could blame it on, if they could blame it on Putin, they could.
Well, I thought they'd probably use the Norwegian, you know, subunit. No, they didn't. They used the land and just had Americans.
And then Sweden, I think, and Norway just finished their investigation and basically—
Yeah, I bet.
Well, no, they concluded there's absolutely no evidence that Russia did it. So, I mean, it could, the list of suspect narrows. But again, think of that. You couldn't know. They've been telling us all this time that Putin is crazy, right? And he's dangerous. That's why we have to keep sending billions and billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine, because Putin's crazy and dangerous. So what do? We complete, you know, this. I mean, I guess maybe that's why they didn't complain about the weather balloon so much, right? It's kind of, spy balloon is nothing compared to blowing up a pipeline, right?
Yeah, spy balloon. Why would you care about that when you're just going across the world blowing up other people's pipelines?
I mean, just think of that. And again, you know, you look at some of the things we're learning about the CIA, and so nothing is surprising anymore. And I don't know what will happen. You know, there hasn't been a response from Russia. What do you think? My guess is at this point, Russia is going to use it. I think they've already blamed the United States anyway, right?
Well, if they need an excuse, you can add to everything else along with the all the military equipment and all the contractors in the Ukraine fighting the war. It's pretty amazing, really. We're going to be in a World War III. Democrats are great at getting us into wars. And used
to be the other way around, though, right? It used to be just the opposite, you know?
No, Democrats have always been great at getting us in war. The Democrats got us in the Mexican-American War. The Democrats got us in World War I. It got us in World War II. It got us in the Korean War. And it got us in the Vietnam War. It isn't too more recently that we've had our rhinos get us into wars, like Joe...
Mitt Romney?
Well, no, he didn't get in this war, but the Bushes certainly did. They got in us in various wars. Equal tasking.
Equal tasking. This from Stephen Joe Galloway, who wrote "We Were Soldiers," says it's easy to get into a war. It's hard to get out of one. Yeah, and Stephen, what makes it even harder is when you have a government that does not want to get out of the war because of the military-industrial complex, right? And all the people making money. You know, you get in the military, or you're in government, then you go work for a military contractor. I mean, you know, the revolving door there.
Something for everybody.
That's right. And from Jim Jackson, it also fits the Green New Deal policies. Exactly. Get rid of. I mean, you can't really use oil and gas if you can't get any of it. And then from Stephen, Jim, how much pollution is caused just because of buildings blowing up, among other things that happen?
Okay. That's good.
But that's the solution. Yeah. You forget that. Bill Gates has explanations for that.
We got Sherry from Lakewood online too. Sherry, great to have you.
Thank you. Since you said we could talk about anything, I just wanted to tell you about a certain court case that I found interesting.
Okay.
It's the Brooke Jackson case in the United States, and she's suing Pfizer under the False Claims Act that they defrauded the government.
Ah.
So I wanted you to know, Pfizer filed a motion to dismiss that case. And they stated in court, please dismiss this case, Judge. We did not defraud the government. We delivered the fraud that the government ordered.
What? They said that?
Yep. Yep, and that's from Sasha Latapova. I've mentioned her before. She has amazing stuff of basically she goes into just really the big part. Yep.
That's pretty, which is true. I mean, you know what? I mean, number one, it's kind of, you obviously there's a reason that they said you don't want to be suing the pharmaceutical companies, giving everything we're learning. But you have a point, or she has, Pfizer has a point. It's like, hey, look, they asked us for this. We all knew it was dangerous. Yeah. It wasn't going to work. But they're like, hey, we'll give you millions and billions of dollars. And we said, okay.
Sure.
That's pretty interesting. So it's a Brooke Jackson. Is it, do you have any idea what state it's in or anything like that?
No, I got the information, like I said, from Sasha Lot. It's LATYPOVA, and she actually did a full speech, and it's fascinating. And it's on Rumble, and it's the channel Lakarupropet. It's LAKARUPPROPET. Jeez. But she calls it. She has it actually. She shows the. The court document.
Wow.
And it's the Brooke Jackson case in the United States. That's all I got that she said. But
That's pretty interesting. You got to laugh. It is true. The government wanted us to develop this fake vaccine. So we did. So you can't sue us. Go sue the government. Guess what? You can't sue the government. Yeah, well, that's pretty interesting. Thank you, Sherry, for bringing that up. I'll look into it.
That is great.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, take care.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, again, you're not going to see anything if the Nord Stream pipeline, just like Paul Pelosi, he was there last night. Nobody stopped to say, okay, about that whole Paul Pelosi thing. Why did you guys sign the affidavits? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. We got Charlene raising her hand. Hey, Charlene, go ahead.
Oh, hi there. I just wanted to report some good news.
Yay!
Our governor, Sarah Sanders, has hit the ground running. She had a press conference this morning, a huge crowd, where she's rolling it out, school choice. And she is going to make, I think, be another DeSantis for the state of Arkansas. So I'm just thrilled about that. And also, I think the two main big issues we have to worry about, they're so far ahead of us, you know. And for us to kind of be confused at what's going on at Twitter. I felt like when he started to buy it, that they were setting up the back door for when they did sell it to him.
Yes.
And I, for him not to understand that kind of concerns me. But also, I think I saw him tweet, or he said something like, things are worse than you would believe, or something like that.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think he knows the magnitude of what he's up against. But the fact that we are finding out all this information, and the two big main concerns, I think, are the AI and the deep fakes, and they're using assimilated images from videos to have a person deliver a speech or say something where we think it's real. We think it's really that person. It's not that person.
No, exactly. You know, and this is, on a side note, what's bizarre about that, there was another guy, a TikTok guy, and I do not look at these, but what he did is he used this AI program to, so he took porn movies, right? And had the AI superimpose other TikTok people that he knew to be the porn star. So if you were to look at it, it looks like these people are, you know, videotaping.
Yes.
I mean, there's
exactly. And they've just perfected it so they can get us to believe anything. And that's why when I see anything on TV now, I believe none of what I hear and half of what I see. And that's even more relevant today because they can manipulate these images and the voices to make you sound, to make it sound like you think you're watching the person and it's not even the person.
That's right.
And so I think that's, you know, I think that happened with the football player. They've manipulated some images of him because they really haven't given us a good picture of him in public conversing with a big crowd of people. You know, he should be, since he recovered, he should go out and say, here, I'm back, and let me sign autographs, you know, and have thousands of people.
You only saw that one, and you're talking about the guy who collapsed with some of the myocarditis thing.
Yes. Right. We saw a blurred image of him from the front with the snow covering him, and he had a hood and glasses and a mask on, and then we saw a clear image from the back. So, but we haven't really seen him having, you know, a celebrity event or, you know, anything. And so it's what they don't show us. So that's the one thing we need to be concerned of. And I think they're going to have to use a lot of these deep fakes because I think the fallout from the vaccine is going to be so big that they're going to have to start creating these deep fakes. And then the other thing, and I know this is bad news, but I feel like we have to know the bad news before we can fight it. And so, and I think people are ready to, you know, push back against it. So, I'll save the other for another time, but anyway.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. All right,
thank you.
The good news is it is artificial intelligence. And, you know, again, I think that on one hand, yes, the kids are being bombarded with it and it's easy for them to be brainwashed. But on the other hand, I watch my son and his friends and they are so much more aware that this is going on, right? That maybe you believe it, maybe you don't believe it. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. And I think that there still are more of us than there are of them. So when they try to put the deep fake images out or the fake people
and,
out
and the vaccine is going to get a lot of them.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Yes.
Oh, and Julie, can I say one more thing? Am I still on here?
Yeah.
Oh, the other great news is that Asa Hutchinson, he is the one that promoted transgenderism and chemical castration of minors in Arkansas. Yeah. And he actually, our legislature passed a ban on state funding and he vetoed it. And the legislature overrode the veto, but then the courts have now overridden the legislature in Arkansas. So they're still performing it, but it's gotten such a black eye. They're kind of easing out of Arkansas.
Wow, we're going to have to all move to Arkansas then, Charlene.
Yeah. So, you know, it's what the public will tolerate. It's like Arkansas Children's Hospital doesn't want to hear about, they don't want to answer calls. You know, right? What are y'all doing over there? And so anyway, so, you know, he had a Walmart backing. He is their prodigy. And they have taken him on for the last 20 years and supported him. Well, so he implemented all this liberal stuff for them. Well, now he was going to run for president, you see, because he went along with them. Well, now, because he hurt himself so much politically, his funding is drying up and this big move to run for president is not panning out like he thought. So now he's kind of walking back and he's saying, you know, I may not be running for president. So he may have to settle for a seat on the board of the Walmart Foundation.
There you go.
I'm sure he'll get one. Okay. I'm sure he'll
get
one.
So, but anyway,
come out here and help with the Broncos.
That's what exactly they own the Broncos now.
Yes.
So anyway, so pushback is important. That's
yes,
all.
It is.
There you go. There you go. Thank
you. That's right. Pushback is important, guys. And remember, there are more of us than there are of them. Hey, I want to thank everybody on Zoom. Thank you for everybody who called in and who commented.
And we'll have our scheduled guests at another time. But I like these shows where we can just talk to everybody and read the chats and everything else.
It is
really, you know, sometimes, you know, you get so busy with
the guests
that you can't get as much back and forth with
the interaction.
Exactly.
As always, thank you to the great guys at BBS and Thomas for running things there. We will see you all next time.
Next time. Take care.